would you go into your heart and make a sound for me from your heart now? Okay, we're getting there. Maybe we're getting there. A little more real, maybe. But still, we're not all around the law yet. We have a little further to go. All right. Now, what I would like to ask you is if you could let a law be your guide in life. Okay. So look inside your heart and see what your honest answer is to that. Could you? Would you let a law, Most High, the One, guide you and be your master, your guide, your lover, your beloved, your teacher, your friend? Would you give yourself that relationship? And if your answer is yes, would you make a commitment to God directly? I'd like to hear a few of your commitments. Would you give me yours? I know that you're making one. What's your commitment or your statement?
Just a statement that I said.
Yeah.
I said, God, I would go through the fire of hell, but when he's going
to sleep. Alhamdulillah. That's the commitment you want. Deep, 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 deep commitment. Who else made a commitment? How many people made a commitment to God? Let me see your hands. Okay, how many people didn't? Be honest. Yeah, that's pretty good. We're in the right conference. All right. That's good. All right. Well, let's work with the commitment a little bit. This is the next step. So, would you be my subject for a few minutes? Okay, come on up front here. Yeah, here. Okay, come stand here and face the group. Now, one thing I want to explain to the group is that we have four hearts. The heart of the self, the heart of the heart, the heart of the soul, and the heart of the secret. Okay, and these actually are four spiritual locations inside of our chest. Okay, so the heart of the self lives down here. The heart of the heart's a little bit higher. The heart of the soul is up in here. And the heart of the secret actually lives all the way up in the thymus. Okay, so we have four different hearts inside of us. They have slightly different locations inside of us. Not physical heart. All right. Now, if we are going to know God, we are going to have to get commitment at all four levels, surrender at all four levels, and disappearance at all four levels. All four hearts have to disappear into God. And then we have to hold it. Okay?
Secret.
Secret, yeah. Or some people, we say spirit. Secret means the heart of God. Okay, heart of the ego, the deep heart of the human being, the heart of the soul, the heart of the secret, which is really God's heart. Or sometimes it's called the prophetic heart as well. Okay? All right. So, what's your name?
Karima.
Okay. Karima, speak to God and tell God your commitment that you just made. Put a law in front of you and speak to God.
Allah, I offer my life to you. I offer my pain and anything that comes my way as a gift to help you experience your life through mine. I offer you my eternal thanks for the experience. I offer the essence of my soul, the essence of my being.
Okay, very good. She's very sincere. She's very honest. She deeply loves God, and she's surrendering herself to God. Now, can we go deeper? Yeah, see, she's already there. Now we're going deeper. So now we're starting to move into this surrender, in the deeper heart. This surrender was right here, but now we're going to cut through into this heart here. All right, now go to that heart, and you're already opening that heart, and start to allow yourself. You see, this is a whole nother world in here, isn't it? Okay, now, what's the truth of this heart? Let's hear this heart speak to God. What's the truth of this heart?
The truth of this heart wants to be lost in God.
Tell God. Tell Allah, say, my beloved Lord, that's all I want is to be lost in you. Okay, now you notice that she's hesitating.
No, I didn't know.
Oh, no, go ahead.
You were just repeating.
Oh, no, go ahead. You tell it.
Okay. Allah, my heart yearns to become part of you, to just be lost in your being.
Okay. Now, my experience of that is if that was a bow, you bowed like this. Okay. Now, if you're going to know Allah from that heart, you know where you've got to end up. Okay, so let's go further. You can do it. I know. It's, don't worry about them. They don't exist. They're only God.
They didn't until a minute ago.
I don't mean that as, I hope I didn't hurt your feelings with that. You're only her mirror. They're not here for her. Okay. Say, at this time, so you're going deeper, but now really, see, now you've got to really open in here. Really, say open, 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 and now you start to surrender from this place. Allahu Akbar.
Allahu Akbar.
Okay, now again, we can go further. Your heart's more. Deeper, 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 deeper. Keep going, don't stop. Keep going and put yourself. See, now you're starting to really bow to God. That's an open, 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 and Bismillah Rahman Rahim. That's it, open, 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 and there's Allah coming, open, 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 deeper, deeper, in my name of God, in the name of God, I accept you, I love you, open, 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 and there, now her heart's changing, 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 and what we're doing is we're actually writing the name of God in her heart. The name of Allah is being written throughout this, the heart, and she's building the light of God's inner temple inside of her. Okay, there you go, deeper, 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 keep going, 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 don't stop, keep going. Keep going, keep going. You see, God's changing her heart now. It's like the inner pillars of light in her heart are being shined with the qualities of God. Ar-Rahim, the quality of mercy. Ar-Rahman, the quality of compassion, is being brought and shined inside her heart. But more than those two, other ones as well. And she's deepening, 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 Bismillah, deepening, open, open, accept Allah, accept, accept, and accept, and let go, and surrender in, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay. This is a transformation of the heart in a very real way. It's a very deep, very practical way. And it changes the light in the heart so that the heart receives God. Okay, now you can feel her. She's drinking, she's opening, and Allah is moving her through her process. God realization is not a simple fact. It takes time. It takes this type of surrender. You have to give everything. From that, you'll find love. You'll find beauty. You'll find tomorrow she'll have more love than she's ever had, ever. But through her surrender to God, through the surrender, we get the fruits. Allah. Sometimes we want the fruits without the surrender. It's the other way. Through the surrender, we reach the fruits. Allah. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, how's your heart feel?
Okay.
That's good. Allah. Thank you. All right. So, the whole path, my understanding of the path is that it's through our continual walking with Allah each moment that the inner architecture of our hearts are changed. So if we continue to open our hearts and we live with God each moment, that's how we come to know God. And again, why do we want to do that? Because basically we're suffering, always, anyways. And by knowing Allah, Allah changes us and takes us out of who we are and puts us in a new reality. And it will never look like what we think. I never thought I'd be standing here in a robe teaching Sufism. Really. I went to India. This is what Allah brought me, and so this was my teaching. And I had to surrender. I had to surrender everything. And you have to surrender everything, each moment, completely. And if you do, and you're very honest about it, which I see you are, if you are very honest about it, then Allah will take you like a runway. It's like a plane. You take off, and you move very, very quickly through the phases of being face to face with Allah. Day after day, moment after moment, breath after breath, after breath, after breath, after breath. And then the ecstasy comes. And then Allah opens the door to the beloved, to the love.
Surrender never stops, does
it? It never stops. It only deepens. There comes a point where you will be deeply surrendered to God, but then God will say, but now you have to surrender to what I give you. Now God makes you work. And then you'll surrender deeply to the work, and then God will take you someplace else. It's like it never, never, never ends. But you know what? It gets more and more beautiful. Each surrender becomes so sublime and so beautiful and so peaceful. And then your heart begins to be ecstatic with the stars of the divine qualities. When we surrender and we move out of the ego into the heart, we begin to feel incredibly good. There's an incredible beauty that comes inside of you when you begin to experience this. But as you go deeper, the way Allah moves us is through the 99 names. Okay, this is at the soul level, which in Arabic is called the realm of Jabarut, the soul world. In Jabarut, the soul lives. This is where the soul's home is. But the soul needs to drink the 99 names of God, the qualities of God, the knower, the hearer, al-basir, Al-Rahman, all the qualities of God at these levels, and needs to drink them. Al-Kareem, which is what your name means. Al-Kabir, all these qualities. And as it drinks the qualities of Kareem, of Kabir, of Rahman, it changes itself. And each time it drinks, the soul becomes full of that quality. And of course, if you have a name like Karima, you're there to drink Kareem. And the more you drink it, the more your being starts to resonate with that quality until your soul begins to become a mirror of God's reality. And that's what the hidden teachings are about you, about becoming that. Okay, any questions about any of this? Yes. Okay, yes.
What happens is when I, in the surrender process, if I say something like, if the words come out of love and peace and healing and things like that, it feels like an ego thing that I'm asking for those qualities rather than just asking for that which I'm
I think that's true. If you ask for these things, it's not right. It's not to be asking. What it is to be remembering God. You see, if you look at it, I like to look at light, but if you look at the heart, this is, let's say, your heart. If there's some place in the heart that's saying, I need something, and there's another place in your heart that's longing, right? Which is, and when you ask, if you ask from here, this is your ego asking. But if you're in the longing that's in your heart, the longing is magnetic. It pulls you to God. It draws you to God. So you want your longing to do the remembrance. And you understand what I'm saying? Yeah. Trust your longing is real. Trust your longing. Very beautiful. Yes.
Well, as you know, in the Islam religion, or Muslim religion,
yes,
they have an exercise with praying 4 or 5 times a day.
Yes.
I want you to understand now what is different with this prayer and the other prayer to God.
You mean the prayer of the Muslims versus non-Muslim prayers?
Not the non-Muslim. Or they only pray to the God, doesn't make any difference what the religion
is. Okay. Well, when Muhammad created the Salat, as-Salat, which are the 5 prayers to God, Muhammad understood this path completely. I mean, Muhammad not only understood it, he created it, along with Abraham and others. And he said, there are 4 hearts. There's the heart of God, or the secret, the heart of the soul, the heart of the heart, and the heart of the self. And each of these hearts have different things to learn. Like the self is unruly, so the self has to learn to obey the law. The heart has to learn to love, etc. Each heart has something else to learn. So when Muhammad brought the Salat, he said, the first position of Salat is standing up. It's being in the station of listening, of standing, of being in the law. But the second station is the station of bending over, surrendering. Because one has to bend one's back to surrender. The third station of the Salat is being on your knees, which means that I accept God's will, the station of Jesus, the station of love. I accept God's will. I'm in the love. I bow. Well, after one accepts the love of Allah, then the last thing one does is he bows all the way. The station of prostration, the station of Muhammad. So every time you do your Salat, your prayer, you walk through, right? Standing, down, that's one cycle. And how many cycles are most of the prayers? 4. Why? You cycle through it 4 times. So the Salat walks you every time from the self to the essence of Allah. Every time you do it, you're reinforcing the path. That's the beauty of the prayer. And when you reach it, Allah gives you blessings. That's why we pray. We're writing the name of God, and believe it or not only do you walk through these 4 stations, but in Arabic, in the name, Allah, these stations, here's the standing, here you are, here you're bowing, here you're kneeling, here you're prostrating. It's the same thing. You're writing the name of God through your prayer. So over and over again, you're walking the whole path, even unconsciously. You don't even know it. Allah is creating it inside of you. You're walking it. This is the beauty. It's very simple, but very deep. Okay, yes?
You reestablished your school, and I was reading your book, and is this kind of teaching that everyone does?
Thank you for asking.
Do you teach this in order to be healed?
Well, the Jaffe Institute is a school that is, it has a twofold purpose. The first purpose is to teach you the realization of God. That's my secret purpose, but that's the real purpose. And I don't really hide it that much. It's pretty much out there. But I want to teach you how to realize God, not just in the ego, but in the ego, the heart, the soul, and the secret. Okay. Most people who have been walking, I've been amazed that people can reach this in as little as 1 to 3 years. Some take a little longer, some run away, some reach. Okay? Because the practices and the path are strong, and they carry the essence of the teachings very strongly. This isn't directly from me, but from my teacher and from the lineage and from the way it goes back and back. The second thing is I want to teach people to be healers, but I'm not just teaching you to be healers. I want to teach you to be leaders, which means that if you can heal, you can take healing into any place in the world. So you can go into government, for example, and heal the government. You can go into a corporation and heal a corporation. You can go into a body and heal a body. You can go into a family or a relationship or a divorce and heal it so that they don't have to divorce. Because healing is healing. And healing is very simple. How much time do we have? Am I reaching the end here?
10 minutes?
Okay. If we have two people, let's say we're in a relationship, if they both listen to God, God will bring them together in love, always, if they're meant to be together. If they're married, if they have children, God will bring them together. If they're just dating, maybe they're not right. God might move them apart. But if they listen to God, and they both listen, God will show each one exactly how to be, so that not only are they together, but they can become absolutely one, in unity through each other, if you follow and you hear the will of God. Okay, well, that's a relationship. If you have a company that's doing something on the planet, making something, if the company is aligned with God's purpose, the company becomes a holy company. If each of the people who guide the company learn to listen to God and follow the rule of Allah, everything in that company will be perfect and they will become a leader of light in the world. If you have somebody, like I did recently, I had a man in Chicago, he came in, he had an astrocytoma of the brain, it's a tumor of the brain. He was being paralyzed, they gave him 3 months to live. That was it. 4 children, 36 years old. Okay, I looked at his relationship to God, there wasn't one. I looked at his relationship to his work. He was a banker. He wanted money. When I looked to his family, he didn't care. I said to him, you're going to have to change if you want this to heal, because your tumor is about your hatred of your reality. If you don't change your reality, you won't heal. He looked. I was amazed because I didn't think he would, but he did. He looked, and he attended a seminar, healing intensive. He went through the healing intensive with our healers. And at the end of 1 week, he'd opened his heart back up to God. At the end of 1 month, he started to accept his wife. At the end of 2 months, he started to love his children. At the end of 3 months, he dropped his job. At the end of 4 months, We're still going here. He had a CAT scan and his tumor had almost disappeared. Okay, why? Through the mercy of God's love. Through his turning back to God. Yes?
What about the situations where some are not meant to be healed, but for one lesson or another, it's part of the process?
Her question is, what do you do about the people who maybe are not meant to be healed? Well, this is always in Allah's hands.
Right.
When you meet the person, you first thing you do is you go to God yourself and you pray. I do. I say, Allah, can I help this person? And out of maybe 10 people, 8 I can help and 2 I can't. So those two I don't ask to come. Okay, the other 8, then I go to Allah and I say, Allah, what do you want for that person? For example, I have a boy that just left our community who was going blind from optic neuritis, unknown cause. Okay, he was only 22, 24, I don't know, young, 22, 24 years old. We started to look. I looked in. I said, Allah, can I help this boy? And the answer was yes, but it won't be easy. I went to Sidi, who's my guide, and I said, Sidi, what do you think? He said, there's a holy oil from Jerusalem that I want to send you that you put into his eye. It's going to hurt, but put it in his eye. So I took the oil. He sent it. The boy came. I put it into his eye. This oil burnt like fire, but it was pure light, and it was burning. And when I looked into his eye, let me use a different thing here. Yep, they're pretty full, huh? Let me go the other way, right. Okay. Thank you. When I looked into his eye, here was the eye, but behind his eye, there was like a cloud of gray, dark material, and it was going into the optic nerve, which comes behind the eye, and compressing it and destroying it. The oil went into this and began to break this down and began to kill what I saw as a virus in this. We started to work on his issues, and his issue was his father that he was afraid to face. His father was a perfectionist, and he was afraid to face his father. He started to face his father. He started to accept the oil. This whole cloud disappeared, and he started to see. In front of our eyes, the light changed, and he could begin to see. He started to open to seeing. Because why? Well, he cleared his issues, but more importantly, Allah sent him the mercy. This was through the gift of God. Well, this is what we teach in the Institute. How to, first of all, yep, that's not going to work, is it? You have to know God, you have to know Allah, and you have to be able to listen to Allah. That's your guide. And to do that, this happens through the remembrance, and it happens through your bowing and your commitment and your constant giving to God. Okay? Once you know the difference between the voices of the ego, the self, the nafs, and the voices of the fire, which are other things, and God's voice, now you're really on your way. Now your compass is good. You know God. Now the next step is surrender. Now you have to surrender to God. Because God's going to ask you things. God's going to say, well, if you want to know me, give up your job. Right. Wow, I don't know if I can do that. You know what happened to me? Sidi called me and said, Ibrahim, I want you to establish a community in Napa Valley, California. There's a piece of land on the market. I just sold my house. He said, go buy it. I said, Sidi, never been out there. I don't know if I want to buy that place. He said, this is an order from Allah. Look. I looked. I said, yes, you're right. He said, go buy it. I said, I'll be out there Monday. It was Tuesday. I'll be out there a week from now. He said, no. Somebody else wants to buy it. Go tonight. I said, Sidi, buying a ticket from Florida to California is going to be thousands of dollars. Can it wait? This is the order. I got on the plane. I flew out. I bought the land unseen. But when the order of Allah comes and you hear it, you listen, even when you don't like it. I didn't like it when I saw it. I was very upset. But it was what I needed, and it was what the people needed. And Allah continues to always challenge. Okay, and I continue to be challenged. Okay. And so then you learn to surrender. But then as you learn to surrender, then Allah begins to change your heart. And this is the beauty, when your heart begins to beat now in the love of God, when your heart begins to be tasting the beauty, the life, the juice, now you start to become a real beloved. This is a holy time. And now you really start walking. We call this walking. And now from that love, you start to go deeper, and now Allah builds the temple of God inside your heart. And you'll see it if you can see with light. I see light. You'll see that your whole being is being changed into a holy temple. Every cell, every atom, every molecule is being turned into the light of God. And the experience of that is ecstasy. Your experience is ecstasy and beauty and peace and love and freedom. And then if you're very honest and you're very committed, and this is again the hard part, because now you have to give up your life. You have to give up who you are. Then if you say even that, you say, God, even take me, not just my heart, but my soul, take everything. That's a great sacrifice. Most people speak about it. Oh yeah, I'll drop my ego. Dropping your ego is not an easy thing if you sacrifice yourself on the altar of God's love. Then God kills you. And he puts the light, actually the light of Muhammad, but the light goes right through you. And it opens your heart and your entire existence changes and God lifts you out. And then you're not experiencing change anymore, you're experiencing the realization of God. Yes? Yes. You know, I don't want to spend too much time at this point in the lecture just to say that God created both love and fire, good and bad. And all of us have free will to choose. If we choose this, we never have to worry about that. But if we're insecure or not clear, then we end up listening to one of these two things. Okay, yes?
The word energetic healing has a specific meaning, or is it general?
Energetic healing, of course, is all over the place now. And mostly what it means is that the body is surrounded by an aura of light. And there's many layers, etheric, emotional, mental, causal, soul, on and on. There's 7 primary levels of light. Each of those levels of light in traditional energetic healing is changed so that the body heals. In divine healing, which is what the Sufi way is we don't take the emotional body. If somebody's angry, and we take the emotion and we bring it into happiness, they feel better, right? And if the anger was causing hepatitis, they may get rid of the hepatitis. But if we take the anger and we discharge it and we take the part that was angry and we change the inner child to bow down before God and to give everything to Allah so that the child only sees God, not only have we changed the light, the anger, and the organ, we've brought them closer to God. And this is what Sufi healing is. It's to bring everything closer to God. Yes? Well, in many orders, they don't go to Allah directly. They go to the 99 names first. So you learn, you say Rahim, which is mercy, and you learn the quality of Rahim. But Siddhi and the Shadaliya discovered that if you went to Allah first, remember, La ilaha illallah, go to the one first. If you go to Allah first and you learn Allah first and then bow down to it, you'll learn the essence, divine essence first. After you learn the essence, then God will teach you the qualities. And you can read about the qualities and sit with them. But for you, I'd say learn about the qualities, but keep deepening your walking with the essence. Okay, yes. Yes. You know, my understanding of that, which is probably incomplete, is that in the morning when you wake up, you're very close to God, so you do two, and all the angels are praying. Because, you know, the angels pray with the sunrise and with the sunset. So you have all that light around you from the angels praying. By lunchtime, we're busy with work, we forgot, so you do 4 because you've got to wash all the stuff that you took in. by the midday prayer, you're again busy with the world, you wash. But now comes the third prayer, the last prayer at sunset. Now you do three rakat because the angels are praying again and the state is very holy. But then you go to bed and then you do the four rakats again because between the last and bed, maybe you had a fight with your spouse, maybe you watched, you know, I don't know what, on TV, and now you need to wash all those images that came in through the TV, or through reading your book, or through, you know, whatever your life is about. So that's why. That's my understanding of it. Okay. Any other questions about this? Yes.
I was curious about how you approach trying to bring healing to an organization like a corporation or a government.
Well, I can give you an example with American Airlines if you'd like. All right. I won't tell you too much about it because I might be violating some things, but if you have a company like American Airlines, their entire company is an energy field, right? And it's just like a body. And it has a mind, and it has a heart, has a solar plexus, has a belly. You look inside the energy field and you see where in the energy of the corporation there's a problem. In this case, it had to do with the feminine side of the heart, the left side of the heart, which had to do with the presence of the female energy in the corporation. All right. So what we did is we looked at what was the needs of the feminine in the company, what did God want for the feminine by taking their needs, because we, you know, we had to make sure their needs were right. What if they weren't? What did Allah want for them? When they began to accept what Allah wanted for them, rather than being excluded, they came into the company and the company started to do better.
So you don't have to lecture them on accepting certain religious
ways
and doing energetically as your other kinds of work.
Exactly. In the beginning, you introduce people to God and to Allah. And if they love Allah and they want to move forward with it, that's good. And if they want to move a little bit, that's okay. And if they just want to be with that, that's okay. You don't force.
Oh, you do talk about God, though.
I do. I do talk about him at this point, you know, I do. Because, you know, we used to do energetic hearing on companies without Allah. And you know what? Unbeknownst to us, sometimes what we aligned with was the fire because we didn't know any better. But now, if you only listen to the light of Allah and you listen completely and accept what Allah makes for you, how could your company go wrong? I'll tell you one last story. It's a great story. One of my students from Texas, I think it was, worked for Dell Company, Dell Corporation Computers. And she was making, I think it was $200,000 or $300,000 a year. Okay. Another company, one of the dot-com companies, came to her and wanted a startup. They offered her, I believe it was $500,000 a year plus close to $1 million in stock options to come over to her company. Okay. She came to me, she said, "Ibrahim, how can I say no to this offer?" And I said, "Beloved, look at the light of this company and tell me, is this the light of God, the light of self, or light of the fire? Where is this company operating from?" She looked and she looked and she started crying. She said, "They're operating from the fire." And I said, "Do you want to work for the fire? I don't care how much money they have." I said, "Is that what you want?" And she said, "No, I don't." I said, "Because if you do, you're going to end up in the fire." She said, "I give up. All right, I won't do it." So she decided not to take it, but Dell knew that she was going to be leaving. The day she said no to the dot-com company, the next day Dell called her and said, "We love you so much and you're so valuable that we've decided to match offers." And she was able to stay at Dell for, I may not have the numbers exactly right, but she matched the offers. Okay? So this is what I'm talking about, working with Allah in every situation. Okay, are we at time? Feels like we are. What time is it now? Oh, okay. Well, I've got time if you do. Okay, hold on. Okay. Need a stretch break? You all want to stand up and stretch? Why don't you do that? Why don't you everybody stretch a little bit?
My question is, I'm relatively new to all this. I find it, of course, quite interesting, but when I was asked to accept God and to do what you said, I thought about my family, my work, all my business. And honestly, I said, I can't walk away from all that.
Yeah.
So I had to answer no, I guess, to that commitment. So my question is, where do I stand and what do I need?
But you see, the thing is this. Allah is not going to ask you to walk away from something until you're ready. Or, like, let's say that she had taken the job and was working for the fire company. If Allah asked her, when she comes to God, God is not going to let her stay in that company, or He's going to change the company, because it would affect her soul. She has to come out. Something has to change. But Allah is merciful. It doesn't take you in one moment and say, now you have to change your job, or now you have to change this. He gives you time.
But I know what he's saying is that it comes from a place of integrity.
Yes.
To honor my place of integrity.
Yes.
Which I believe matches with God, but that is something we, I mean,
if it does,
that we share, and I can see
yes.
He's saying his frustration, because I said, I'm not going to leave my commitment.
You shouldn't leave your commitment and your integrity if your integrity is right. Meaning, if it's coming from the truth, of course not.
Okay.
But if it's not from the truth, then that's another story. For example, with marriage, I'm one who very much supports marriage. And most of the people I've seen who are divorcing today shouldn't be. They're divorcing from giving up, or from their own nafs or their own frustration, not from having, but they don't have the way out. They haven't been able to work it out with therapy. But why? What have they missed? Because they're missing God. It's like somebody who's an alcoholic. Trying to get rid of alcoholism without God is very difficult. But with it, it becomes a possibility. All right? It's the same thing I'm talking about. Okay, but the thing I have to ask you is, again, look at your commitments. Is Allah asking you to give up your job? No, of course not. No, I can tell you He's not. All right. But, yes, okay. Alaykum salam. I've had different pharmaceutical students, but I haven't worked with any companies directly. But I'm open. You know, you'd be amazed that many of the people in the pharmaceuticals are actually not bad people. I mean, there are many, many of the people there that are really trying hard. And there's, of course, a big greed factor in there as well. So it's a tough thing. You've got to see who you're working with. And many times the people down below aren't the people up on top. Yeah, but I know what you mean. Yes. This is a terrible thing. Yes. First of all, the outside is not the inside, and there's been difficulties in every religion around people, like when people did the Crusades with Christ, and people do this with the Muslims do, and these are a problem, because this is not, Allah says, if you kill one person, you kill me. So if with that statement, how can we kill? We really can't kill, and we shouldn't be killing, but people think we should.
What I'm saying is, if you're in that vibration, and you're repeating that vibration every day, how is it not creating this transformation?
Because they repeat it with their tongue, but not with their heart. They're repeating the words, but they're not repeating the real. And it makes me sad too, because I wish it wasn't that way. I wish that by just repeating the words, Allah would take them and make it that way. But it isn't. Allah gives everybody perfect choice. So if you want to be repeating the name of God and not making it mean anything, that's what will happen. Yes.
And he's supposed to let go of his attachments.
Yes.
And And the disciple is working on that, and one day he comes very triumphantly and says, I have let go of everything. All I have is God.
Yes.
And the master says, now you have to let go of God.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, there are some difference in paths here, so we have to be careful about making